Sean comes back. There's Brittany. There we are. Okay, we got people. So let's open it to public comment, make sure we're good with what we've done, and if you've got suggestions or comments about the conditional use, now would be a great time. This won't be the only opportunity for public comments. We're just doing a check-in. As always, 3 minutes, and I will be timing those. Does anybody have anything for us? Please.
Carol Levinen for Clark County Citizens United. I'm just reviewing various documents regarding the bill, regarding the intent of the bill, regarding the overlay, regarding Clark County's ordinance, regarding yes, Bill 5517 in the work sessions. I'm just going to start with one. I'm just going to pick out items here. And what the ordinance says is that it is to improve mobility and access for the movement of goods and services on the Short Line Railroad to enhance and promote economic opportunities throughout the county. Also, allocate or reserve corridor capacity for land use is likely to produce family wage jobs. So that being said, that was the goal under the ordinance. There's no comment within any of this ordinance regarding trails. And yet the Parks Department is asking for $2.5 million from the county in order to provide trail accesses. So that's a big concern for CCCU. In this Exhibit 2, this is also a county advisory committee. It says permit freight rail dependent uses on parcels adjacent to the railroad. If adopted by the county councilors, such uses would allow rural agriculture and forest zone lands. So there's been no discussion over any of these resource lands and how they really apply to what the proposal, what the bill was actually proposed for, was for rural lands and for them to have economic viability. There's a large section in the GMA talks about economic viability in areas, in the rural areas, who are not experiencing economic viability. So that is Clark County right now. So ES Bill 5517, implement process. You've got implementing process scenario 1 and scenario 2. So 1 says, based on considering all 33 miles of the rail line consistent with the language in 5517, and then your implementing process scenario 2, which is the development regulations. So in what I'm seeing here in a lot of this, you're not really following ESB 5517. Here is an example. You're saying alternative scope of work. Example, consider area from Brush Prairie South. That whole 33 miles of line is talked about in the bill, or in the language, excuse me, in the conversation when the bill was passed in the legislature. 33 miles, and 33 miles is consistent with other documents too. And this is a document that was handed out here. It says where your excluding zone R5, council has tasked the freight rail dependent advisory council to provide input on implementing the law. So this Senate bill report also talks about it. Washington State Linda Wilson talks about it. But here the Parks Department has all kinds of other plans for this rail line. So,
okay, so I'm going to ask
somehow you got to get your heads together, I think. But the reason for this, why you're sitting at the table, is to create jobs. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else?
Good evening, committee members, and thank you for coming out and volunteering your time on this worthy endeavor. It is all about jobs. I'm Susan Rasmussen with Clark County Citizens United, and I believe the success of implementing ESB 5517 is being seriously limited. And the result won't look like what the bill intended at all, or will be just a shadow of what was intended. And that is thousands of jobs in the rural areas, good family wage earning jobs, is what the bill says. If you go back to the legislation and you listen to the conversation that went on prior to its adoption, it was about creating good family wage earning jobs out in the rural areas to get them caught up. I don't feel like the door is being swung wide open to a bigger and wider perspective. I feel like the approach is being taken of a very narrow view. And I think Carol and I have been at all of your meetings, and not once have I heard a conversation about the prospective jobs that would be created. What's the potential here if this business was eliminated, or if this one was brought in? How many good jobs is that going to create? How's that going to impact our community, all the rural areas? You go back to the bill, it's about creating jobs in agriculture, forestry, in mineral lands. And I spent time looking at this map. This was first proposed just to go 500 feet out from the rail line. Now, this is a quarter mile, but maybe a third of it can't be used. And I think you need an honest discussion from the staff about the purpose of a land rid out in the rural areas. And you've got Brush Prairie right up here, an area of commerce, just waiting to be developed. I think you ought to have an honest discussion about which perspective are you going to take. Are you going to have the narrow view or a wide-ranging view, throw open all opportunities? What was the intent of this bill? And how are you moving forward, spurring economic growth with the way that you're going? Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you. And darn good timing to you. 9 seconds left. Anybody else? All right. Any, take a moment, any comments about the comments? Does anybody want to build off of those before we jump into the...
I just would point out that when we started the process, I think the goal originally was to include all 33 miles, and I think that this was just sort of the first step. I think that what their concerns are warranted, but there's only you got to eat the elephant one bite at a time, and this is sort of the first step, toe in the water, and the rest of the land that they're talking about is something we do next year or the year thereafter. So it's not. But it was an arduous. We talked about a 2-year, $400,000 study to get it all done, and it was a high hurdle.
Yeah, can I take
go ahead.
8 seconds.
Yeah, please.
I forgot one more thing, and it's a critical point. The governor requested that the Department of Commerce write a report that's due 2022. So I figure we're almost at 2019 right now. He wants to know the number of jobs that this bill has generated coming out of Clark County. And the state is watching the returns on this.
I'd like to comment to that. It's a capitalist system. We don't control who hires who. We are trying to follow the law the way it was written. And I think we're working as hard as we can to do exactly that. And I would also agree with Mr. Temple when he said that we're just getting started. I don't think anyone's trying to eliminate anything. We're trying to make it work within the restrictions that we have.
But you don't have any restrictions.
Really?
Correct. You don't. This is wide open.
Why don't you?
And may I ask a question? Okay. Why was the rail? Why was the overlay not brought into Brush Prairie? What was the reason for that?
I think when we created this, we wanted to stay within the environmental analysis that we had done.
So that would have gone with the rural industrial land bank?
Right.
So there weren't any studies for Brush Prairie when those businesses were created?
So the environmental analysis that we have on hand was from 2007 comp plan, and we brought in that comp plan, we brought in a huge swath of land to be industrial that included this area, mm-hmm. and so we tried to stay within those.
And Brush Prairie was not included in that.
No, Brush Prairie wasn't included in that.
And you had a short timeline.
Just a little.
Yeah.
All right. Good to move forward. All right, let's hit permitted versus conditional. When we, before the break, it sounded like the druthers of the group would simply be to scroll down this list and wherever we see a conditional on other zones, we'll consider it quickly on ours and see whether we think it. So, with further ado, electric power generation is conditional in the less stringently industrial areas. I think the easiest way to move this is we'll just say it continues to be permitted unless somebody raises their hand and says.
I think we should just stick with the railroad industrial property. That's business park.
No, IR is the railroad industrial.
Yeah, but it's permitted.
Yeah.
But you said it was conditional?
No, it's conditional under.
It's conditional under the rural industrial land bank overlay. And business park is permitted under the railroad industrial.
Changing flights, I can see this is coming.
So we're leaving it permitted, it sounds like?
I think it's a P, right?
All right, continuing downward, we got rid of the sewage.
So basically, okay, so that's what she's doing then. So she's going to change all the most of P's as we go. Okay.
Yes.
All right, great.
That was going to go. All right, so we're now on to page 2, scanning down. Animal slaughtering and processing is conditional. That's interesting.
But did we skip construction? Where are we?
The construction section was all permitted, so I just kept going.
Yeah.
Is the animal slaughtering, is that allowed in all ag, by the way?
It's not.
It's a different thing. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not allowed.
I have Y on me for construction. Am I confused?
Yeah. She's changing it to P's.
She's changing it to permitted.
Since everything else is P.
All Y's go to P.
Okay.
Sounds like a movie.
All right.
So we on to animal slaughtering.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that one.
Where are we?
We are on page 2 of 6 at the top.
At 3-1-1-6-1.
Oh, got it.
I have to see. We're pausing there.
So that one, conditional under industrial, permitted outright in, what's IH and IR?
Heavy industrial.
Railroad. Not even permitted in business park in the overlay. So that one's all over the board.
I would submit to you that it is permitted in some ag settings, though.
Yeah.
And that's, so, that's a question.
So outright permitted?
Yep.
Okay. We've got some stuff, textile mills and the like, that in business park they're not permitted, but everything else is permitted, so I think we just keep on scrolling down until we see something that's a little bit more.
I'm sorry, did we eliminate retail bakeries because I still have it on here?
Left it because we figured that was covered by the sentence we added at the front saying it has to be associated with freight rail dependent use.
So it is permitted then?
Yes.
So the whole section of food manufacturing is permitted?
Yes.
Got it.
The retail bakery, shouldn't that be conditional? Or should it not? I mean, didn't
we? It's up to the group. So right now the way we've got it is it's permitted, but it has to be associated with freight rail use.
That's fine. Forget about my comment. Yep.
I'm thinking the next one that we really want to hit is probably down there under sawmills. Does that make sense to everybody else? There's where it's not permitted in some of the other zones. any comments on that?
I don't have any knowledge of that.
Okay, I'm not hearing any great concern over it. Chemical manufacturing, 325, it's in here as conditional right now. The discussion last time, I think our discussion was actually where we were saying conditional because we wanted a process to double check what chemical. From what Susan just said, I'm not sure that was the right way to apply conditional use. So perhaps we want to revisit that one.
Why would then that be a conditional? Why don't you think that would apply that way?
Well, so what Susan was telling us a few minutes ago was that when you put the C there, you're adding additional mitigation. You're not reviewing whether one type of chemical is good and another type of chemical is bad. And that was more the discussion we had last time.
So you're just saying you can do it, but we have the ability to be more restrictive.
Well, I think it's more you can do it or you can't. If it's conditional, that just means there may be more mitigation across any chemicals.
Would you think, as the staff obviously is the first review, if a very bland chemical came across your desk versus something very caustic, do you think you would have different standards? I mean, different mitigation?
So,
because there's a long list of chemicals, and some are, yeah. Not all chemicals are equal, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
No other size packagings and all of those things. Yeah.
And then just looking at the chemical manufacturing, I mean, we've already determined that we exclude in the light industrial, the business park, and the rural industrial land bank, all of those things except for the pharmaceutical and medicine manufacturing. And so we've already determined that chemical manufacturing should be either excluded or only allowed in the heavy industrial. And our heavy industrial zone is really limited.
Yes.
We don't have much of any in our urban areas. We have some heavy industrial Jalachi Prairie at the Brush Prairie, where the asphalt plant was going to be. I think that's about.
My question is, would you have different mitigation standards based on what chemical it is that they were manufacturing? I would think you would.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we could leave it in your hands. If it's something really bad, you could say really such standards that it couldn't be done, basically.
The bar was...
You could raise the bar high enough that they would be chased off. You could do that.
Should it be conditional or not?
Yeah. If I may jump in on staff's perspective, if a use is allowed, staff, as a rule, will try to find a way to allow it. Mm. So to say that they may chase them off is not quite right.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not how it works.
Because this chemical
exists.
No. My interpretation of the conditional use, and I'm sorry, I didn't
go
mean
ahead.
To interrupt.
No.
Is that, yes, there is an assumption that is generally allowed, and we're going to look for things that would help buffer or mitigate that for the neighbors, and so to go to completely denying it is not usually what we're expecting. We would, if we truly think that the two uses would be incompatible, then you want to look at possibly not allowing it.
My question would be, aren't there some things that are worth looking at a little deeper?
Mm-hmm. So that gets me back to, there's an entire list of chemicals. In this list that they provided us, there are three. But if you go to the NAICS, or whatever it's called, and you go to the chemical section, it's extensive. And not all chemicals are the same. Obviously, we don't want something really Right. Hazardous, explosive.
Volatile, or whatever.
Yeah, we don't want that, but...
Or perhaps not large quantities of something.
So if it's not on, if we say that we permit chemicals, but it's not on this list, wouldn't it automatically be conditional? I mean, wouldn't it be reviewed automatically? Or would it?
If it's not on the list, it would be allowed.
But some things on the list maybe should be conditional. I don't.
So if you're thinking of something that's under that broader chemical manufacturing, and it's not listed here, we wouldn't allow it. We're making it, if it's not here, it's not allowed. In addition to the X.
So you're saying that. So we're not opening up for all chemicals then. So, I mean, he's right that we haven't seen the whole list of chemicals.
Right. And the I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that we have had the list, a broad list of this, and we've already determined the only place we're allowing chemical manufacturing writ large is in the heavy industrial and the industrial railroad.
Then it sounds like this chemical manufacturing needs to be conditioned.
Can I make a suggestion in the interest of time? It's a homework assignment maybe for next meeting. Could you print out that entire list and send us so we can see what we're talking about? No?
No, this is...
I'll read it.
It seems...
Or perhaps going off your idea, maybe another way to do it would be to ask staff to review that list and basically flag for us whether there's NASDAQ. It doesn't sound quite fair to the staff, does it?
Some that should not be in there.
Right.
So you're suggesting that they take the entire NICS list, present it to us with either no-go.
I take that away. That was a bad idea.
That's a great homework assignment for Jose. That's perfect. I like this, John.
I like the way he thinks.
No, I take it back. I just can't do that to him. I've been on that end of things. Personally, I'll throw out my thought is I trust staff to deal with it. If we leave it in there as conditional use, we're generally allowing stuff. We're just saying they got to find a way to mitigate it if it's bad.
So you're saying condition that chemical?
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, he's saying that if it's not on the list here, he won't permit it.
Well, but it is on the list.
It's all conditional.
325, the whole thing.
And so, yeah.
No, I'm saying that if you're saying that there's a list this long and we're only putting this much in there, you're not going to consider the rest of this.
That's only if it's, only if it's X'd. If you put a C there, then we would consider all of those things.
They're not understanding your question, Dan, and I do.
So everything that's listed under here under chemical manufacturing, if you put a C on it, we would look at those as all conditional.
Fine. Put a C on it.
Yeah.
That's what I asked an hour ago.
There we go.
Okay. All right. So I think we're
on the C camp.
Fairly good on that one.
All the C people, which is where we started.
It is, but that is the process. It's ugly, but it works.
If I don't, it works.
Usually. All right. I suggest we move down to cement manufacturing on that stage. We had a big old conversation about that before we called cements conditional and ready mix outright permitted. With the discussion we've had today, are we still comfortable with those?
Yes, I am.
Sounds like it.
So is it then a P for the
ready mix?
3273, the upper one that says cement and concrete product manufacturing, which is currently a Y, but then there's 327310 is going to be a C.
Yeah, so any form of cement and concrete product manufacturing is permitted with the one exemption of specifically cement manufacturing.
Gotcha.
Which is a conditional.
Okay, got it.
All right, let's look at, and we said the same thing for lime, other non-metallic mineral product, and primary metal manufacturing. I think we're all going with that still.
It's C?
Yeah, it's C in there now, and it remains that way. How about we skip down to machine shops? That was a C under business park everywhere. It's allowed. Do we want to just continue just allowing it? Sounds like it. The electroplating one. That one, I have to say, for my part, I would love to see that as a conditional because it can get nasty.
Yes.
Layman's understanding of it anyway. So you all good with making that scene?
Yes.
Okay. For my part, we move to the next page. I'm going all the way down to 56562 waste management. Like, does anybody see anything that concerns them before page 5?
No.
So you all with me on waste management remediation services, number 56? Everything else is conditional for smell, if nothing else. I'll make this one conditional too.
Can I just get a quick explanation of what that exactly means? Just sorry. I think that happened after I left the meeting and I apologize. Just like 5 seconds, what is it?
Just pull it up real quickly.
So if you're on the table, if you go down the third footnote, it tells you.
Oh, there it is.
All right.
Transfer station.
Small waste regulations.
So there's got a transfer center. You got a transfer station. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, cool. That's probably conditional.
Yep. Now I've lost my place. There we are. All right. And that's it for my part. How do you guys feel about that? That felt very, very fast. Cool, moving on.
Is it possible to have a question from the
Absolutely.
Peanut gallery? Okay. I'm not sure I understand when you say it's something that produces an odor could be approved but conditional. Does that mean that they have to have the proper boundary requirements so that they're not visible to other houses, or does it mean the odor has to be eliminated? Because it's, it said earlier, you have to assume it's conditional, it's going to happen.
Yes.
What happens if you can't get rid of the odor? Does that mean it's going to happen? What kind of confidence do we have that the mitigation is actually going to remove the threat to the surrounding neighbors?
That's a good question.
Okay. Susan? She's looking quickly.
I am looking quickly.
Well, under the performance standards, this whole section, once again, on odors and emissions.
Yeah. But that's a fair question, though.
Yeah,
the county puts on a
condition. Paper plan is a good example.
Yeah, same thing. County puts on a condition. How do we know it's... And for many of the conditions, and I'm trying to restate for you, for many conditions, it's very easy. You have a setback that's an extra 100 feet. There's no question about it, and it's a one-time thing.
Right.
For a smell, for example, the condition might be what? Putting dirt over top, and 10 years down the line, are they still putting enough dirt over top? Is that an accurate way to look at it?
You have a different agency. You got the air pollution people.
Yeah, if it's an odor that's released into the air, you can't throw dirt on it.
You have to have an air pollution permit.
Perhaps a bad example.
So the performance standards in the industrial district now have two basic sections. It says the odor abatement for the project shall comply with the best available control technology for odor control, and emissions will not exceed the Clean Air Agency's general regulations. And so we would, if it was something that we were concerned about, we would probably consider a study from the applicant and then get input from.
And would it be the case that the condition might be continued monitoring?
Potentially, we could have applicants turn in monitoring information.
I have a copy of that. So it's
say that again.
You could make it part of the conditional use, and then it would be there would be enforced conditions. So, and you could ask them to monitor it and turn that in.
And usually you're required to monitor by the pollution agency. And most of my permits have been that you be in compliance with the air pollution permit. And sometimes they require copies of the reports sent to the county, but not always.
Does that?
Well, I guess if, since I might live next door to one of these, if they say the requirement is you cut down the horrible odor by 50%, that's not going to work for people who live there. So it seems to me it'd be better to prohibit a place that's going to put an odor into the air that'll affect the surrounding community, rather than say it's okay and then hope you can get some other body to restrict how noxious it is.
Like cows?
Yeah, like a dairy farm, you mean?
Under conditional permitting, you could also require some public input into that as well.
Yes, so any review process, whether it's a type 2 or a type 3, is going to allow public comments.
Okay.
And if it's a type 3, hearing in front of the examiner.
So it wouldn't be just a closed-door decision as such, and I'm not suggesting it wouldn't be the best decision possible. But the residents would have some opportunity to have some input into that as well.
Okay. We'd all get notice.
May I ask a clarifying question?
Please.
And I know I'm not at the table.
That's
But this gentleman who asked the question, I'm curious, is there ever a time when you turn down a question? I mean, would you ever refuse to permit when they come for a conditional use permit and the odor is not... you're not able to control those or contain those odors, would the county under a conditional use be able to deny that?
Potentially, yes.
Would we have the ability to revoke the conditional use permit if they weren't meeting it?
After the fact. That's a little harder than before. And
yeah,
that's
no.
why I asked the question, is there a circumstance where it is possible that you just, the odor just is not controllable and you know that it will produce that odor? Can that be denied outright?
Yeah, if you have unmitigatable environmental impacts, that's grounds for denial.
And I would, I don't know that. That's why I'm asking.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not.
Yes,
wasn't
it is
sure
possible.
About that fact. So.
So the criteria for conditional use. Maybe you could bring up the conditional use section, and we could look at the criteria for conditional use. So there's a set of criteria that we would look at, and some of them are pretty. Thank you. General, but some of the issues that we look at, it says the responsible official may impose, in addition to regulations and standards expressly specified in this title, other conditions found necessary to protect the interests of the surrounding properties or neighborhood or the county as a whole. And then it lists out some of the things that the conditions may include but are not limited to, things like increasing setbacks, increasing street widths, and there's a list of the different things, and you can see them up on the board as well, of the types of things that we can consider.
Could I bring page 37 out of 42 of this?
They don't have that.
Well, they could.
Well,
There's odor abatement standards. Odor abatement, and this is in Clark County Code
That's
Publishing.
The code.
Yeah, it's the code.
Yeah.
Anyway,
industrial code.
Emissions will not exceed SWCAA general regulations. Odor abatement for the project shall comply with the best available odor control technology. And it goes on from there. I don't know if you want to see this.
I
mean,
I see it.
You've seen
Eric,
it.
You had something else you wanted.
No, that's, she grabbed it from me. I'm just saying that, once again, all this stuff has been done. I don't know what the SWCAA is, but apparently they have some standard. What does it stand for?
I'm on the TV.
Oh, it's the Southwest Clean Air.
Southwest Clean Air.
There you go. So apparently there's some regulatory body already that's been established that has set criteria, and the emissions will not exceed whatever their regulations are. But, and that's been the standard in Clark County for...
Yeah, that's emissions. They're not odor.
It says major odor sources is the heading of the section.
It addresses odor. But is it enough?
Well, I can throw my experience out there with the transfer station out at the port. You walk by, the dike trail is 100 yards from it-ish. Hardly need to know it's there.
Okay.
And truly, it's
so it
noisy,
can't be controlled.
But not so much that it bothers you. I mean, it's still a beautiful trail.
So I just want to really quickly go on to say that if we were to deny a conditional use, there's a second criteria that says the responsible official must find that the establishment, maintenance, or operation of the use applied for will not be significantly detrimental to the health, safety, or general welfare of persons residing or working in the neighborhood of the proposed use, or be detrimental to or injurious to the property and improvements in the neighborhood. So I think we would find under that
yes.
criteria that the application was not meeting that. It's not super specific about how they wouldn't meet that. It's kind of a generalized criteria, but if the impacts were going to be too great, then either staff or the hearings examiner would find under that criteria that the use shouldn't be allowed.
That's a pretty good rabbit trail,
actually. Thank you.
All right, are we good with this then and move on?
Thank you.
So we'd be moving over to hazardous chemicals. I thought we had dealt with that.
I thought we did too.
That was just a check for me to remind you all about the board's council's direction on hazardous chemicals. In relation to the uses, and it seems like we addressed a lot of that.
Okay.
So those are all conditional, correct? That's what we did?
That's what we did.
Yep. That's what I hope. Okay, good.
All right, guys, we are making some progress. All right, so it is coming up on 8 o'clock. Do we continue into development standards, or do we stop at a good stopping point? Mm-hmm. Not that I'm trying to encourage something.
Yes. Sounds good.
I already moved my flight, so I'm good either way.
Yeah.
I'd prefer that as to having the 20th meeting, the June 20th. I'd rather press on personally.
Keep going.
How about you, Brittany?
That's fine.
She's just got a new board.
I've got a new board.
She has a new baby at home. How many more minutes?
He's fine.
How many more minutes are you comfortable with? I think I agree with you.
No, I'm fine. Another hour is perfectly fine.
An hour? How about a half hour?
I agree with you.
Half an hour. All right. Well, if we're going to keep going, let's do it then. Review existing industrial and rail related standards. So that's
Section 2
down
here,
right?
So,
where's
that? Blue page. The blue pages. And what I did is I took the current industrial code, I made some edits, took out some things that were related to. That weren't related to this section, the business park. There was some special standard for that. Under C, I added some language about conserving, maintaining, and enhancing the natural resource-based industries, and that's the trying to balance these and showing what the uses are that are resource uses, and identifying what the potential adverse impacts might be and how the development's proposing to reduce or control those impacts. And we thought that was necessary because of portion of the area that's in the ag and forest potentially as we move forward. The street standards, I think I took out of the rural industrial land bank language and kept that. And the landscaping requirements are also the ones that were from the rural industrial land bank. And I know there were some from the industrial railroad that you might prefer, but we can have that discussion.
I personally lean towards the railroad industrial, and because the land masses you were talking about, the rural industrial land bank, were massive parcels, as opposed to, we haven't even determined what the minimum lot size is. That's something we were going to get to. I think the standards for the light industrial, railroad industrial, would be much more applicable to these size parcels, as opposed to the massive ones.
Except that in the overlay, there's a lot of non-massive parcels that will be affected.
That's what I'm saying. Because the smaller parcels, the standards that for the more industrial land bank.
In other words, these are more stringent standards because of.
Okay, I understand then. Thank you.
And so, just as a way to start, the section F is the performance standards that are currently in the industrial code. I think that's what we were talking about with the maximum permissible noise levels. It deals with odor, light, and glare. I think we just agree to keep those.
Yes.
What is under F, and then have the option of, do you want to start with the table on the first page that talks about the minimum maximum area?
Oh.
And then we can get into the other sections that are dealing with street standards and landscaping.
That makes sense.
And so I would recommend that table he's pointing at is fine, but for reference, you should probably go back to the one I presented, which shows you the different standards that are currently in our county code. Because once again, there's a big distinction between the rural industrial land bank, where it's, I think it's 100 acres is the minimum area, so versus some of the parcels we're talking about. So it looks like this. That's the page. It's in the gray. It's a few pages behind. Where you're currently at, if you're
I see it.
In the blue.
Yep.
Are we in the blue?
Yes. Yeah. So blue, gray.
So you're talking the blue.
Got it.
That's just the next one.
Yeah. First blue page and then like second gray page. So.
Thank you for that. Following, do you want to just walk us through the standards here and thought behind them and see how?
Well, if you go to the page prior to the example from my, I just inserted some stuff and I'm not set on it, I just put some numbers in there. But I, basically you have, the first line is the minimum area of the new zoning district, and there's none for most of them. It sort of makes sense. Maximum area, there's none for most of them, or all of them, it looks like. Then you get to the lot size, and that was an issue that Howard brought up, and several other people brought up. What should be the minimum lot size for consideration? I suggested 10 acres, but that's based on CRUDC evaluation of potential customers, and in my own, over the years, getting cold calls from customers and talks with BNSF Railroad, 10 acres to me seems like the a sweet spot for the smallest parcel size. I don't see a lot of demand for less than that. But.
And really just clarify, because I think this code's a little confusing with the minimum lot area. That's really for dividing land. And so if we're looking at minimum, we may have to rephrase it to call it minimum site development, or
okay,
because that's a distinction, and the underlying zone still has minimum standards, and I think that's what's going to guide whether you can divide it or not.
Okay.
So there's no place in the code right now that says if you're going to develop under freight rail, you need a certain amount of land area. Instead, it's just saying you need setbacks and land.
Well, it doesn't exist in our code, and the way this is structured, there's not a minimum lot area for, say, light industrial. You can divide it as small as you want. It's not a 5 acre or a 10 acre. We only have minimum lot sizes in the business park, and then in the rural industrial land bank, we have the 50.
So, see, what you're talking about then is subdividing. Like, if they took the 156 right. acre Lagler parcel, I guess the number I threw out was 10 acres. They could not subdivide it into smaller than 10 acre parcels.
But the problem now is that the underlying zoning is ag, which is yes. 20 acre minimum.
So,
and I don't know if it's a legal thing where we have a conflict.
What's the orange stuff? What's its minimum?
20. We have a lot of non-conforming gotcha. Lots that don't meet the minimum.
Gotcha.
But I think what we were discussing is what's the minimum site that we want to develop, and whether that's 10 acres and that's what we're trying to achieve.
That's a whole different line, probably. Yes. So we'd probably leave it at 20 acres then, based on that's the law currently?
Well, the underlying zone, I don't know that we have a...
How about minimum lot area determined by underlying zone?
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not sure that makes sense.
Why not?
Well, because I mean, if you've got a 10 acre underlying zone, you're saying that you can only, that's the minimum size you can have. You can have,
if you wanted to divide, if you had 100 acres, right, you need to have at least, you could divide it into at least 10 acre. That's what that's saying.
No, but I'm saying if you've got minimum lot size of 20 acres in one of those 20 acre plots there, then you're saying that he has to have a 20 acre claim in order to comply. And that doesn't make sense.
No.
I agree with Dan, by the way. Yeah. I think that's what it says.
That's what it says, that you can only do 20 acres?
If you say that the minimum lot area is 20 acres, yeah, you wouldn't be able to divide below 20 acres, but it also says that's what you need,
and you could
apply for that use, is it not? Mm-hmm. No?
Yeah. There's a pre-existing lot.
If there's not a limit on the, I don't know exactly what we want to call it, but the site development size, if you happen to have a non-conforming 1 acre parcel, you would still be able to apply for whatever type of development is allowed there.
So long as you can meet the development standards, though.
You couldn't then be lost.
So,
right.
Yeah, so in order to have the minimum, to have a minimum, it would be have to be called, you know, developable area or building envelope or something like that, rather than lot size.
Right.
Okay. And I'm saying, if the rest of them say none, why don't we just leave none? Then that leaves you open, does it not?
Well, then, I guess part of, the rural industrial land bank, part of the reason we're looking at these areas and these larger lots is for larger lots. If you have no minimum, then you can divide it into 1 and 2 acre lots. That's the difference. like just down the street, there's an industrial property that's 36 acres that's in the urban growth boundary, and they came in and divided it into 17, they've got approval for 17 lots out of that 36 acres. So is that what you want to see here? Do you want to see those smaller developments? Because that's, if you say there's no minimum, that's what people can do. Yeah. And so do you want to allow
they still
that?
Have to meet the requirements of being freight rail dependent and all
yeah,
that
right,
stuff.
Right, right. No.
So, I mean, if you've got a freight customer that can do his business on 5 acres, wouldn't you want to have him?
Of course.
So why would you put a limit on it? Just leave it none like the rest of them.
I have to agree with Mr. Weaver. And again, you've got all the development standards with setbacks and the like, and so long as you can meet those, which you, if you've got a 500-foot setback and you only have 1 acre, you're not going to meet it. You just can't develop that 1 acre.
So our employment land study work has the smallest site we looked at were 20 acres, but to Eric's point, we do receive inquiries on smaller sites in the Dance Point as well, so we could be limiting those other uses unnecessarily. So,
does that hurt you? I mean,
I think it's fine.
If that hurts you one way or the other, I don't care. I mean, but if you leave it none, it's less restrictive than saying it's 10 acres, and if you got somebody that wants 5, then you can't do it.
Maybe we should go 5 acres then. I mean, at some point they're just too small, and you know we should have some minimum standard.
He can't apply unless he's got a freight rail dependent use.
I understand, but for preservation long term of the parcels, if we start letting them go too small, then you end up with just a mess.
I was going to ask, would not having some kind of a standard discourage the larger developer?
No, let's face it, I mean, Lagler, it's probably going to be bought by a single entity, you know, somebody like that, and I suspect that they'd want to master plan the entire development. I don't think they'd want to
piece it off.
That would make sense.
So one thing that we might want to consider, right now there's no requirement, and I'm not sure what you guys have discussed before, but there's no requirement that you would have to come in with your site plan related development with a land division proposal. And if we have to make some sort of finding that this is a rail dependent use, you, in essence, would be making those two required to come in. I'm not saying that's bad, I just want you to understand what that means. They would have to come in together because we wouldn't be able to approve a land division for less than 20 acres unless they were showing that they were a rail dependent use and doing both of those things at the same time. And I guess I have a little bit of a question about if they did the development, they did site plan review and land division together, I guess we would probably make some sort of condition that both of those also had to go through the final review process at the same time, so that the land division didn't go forward without the rest of the development. Because that is right now a possibility. So you could create lots without going forward with your site plan.
Yes.
And this could be used for, because this is an additive, this could be used for just residential development, if you were able to go forward with your...
So, I apologize, I'm getting really confused on
Me
this.
Too, thank you.
So ignoring everything else as much as we can. You've got 100 acres and Joe Blow wants to come in and just subdivide into 5 acre chunks. And he submits a subdivision to you. And do you then ask, are you doing this under freight rail versus ag? And if it's ag, you can't do it, freight rail, you can. I mean, what's the process here?
Well, right now we don't have to ask that because we don't have the same kind of situation yet.
Right.
So, and that's what I'm pointing out.
Okay.
We would have to come up with some way of asking that exact question.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt. In a mining overlay,
mm-hmm.
do the mining overlays just have really big minimum sizes or minimum lot sizes, so it's not an issue, or how does it happen under a
zone? I'm pretty sure it just refers to the underlying zone.
Okay.
So would it be your recommendation to have an underlying zone that matched the existing, or to have a minimum lot area that matches the underlying zone?
That's one way to go, for sure. It kind of clarifies that point. Or you need to think about having this other kind of process or requirement if you want to make sure that that doesn't happen, that both things go forward together. You would have to have some sort of requirement for that.
So okay. you're saying that if you have a 20-acre parcel and you get 3 clients that you want to have on there, and you know, one wants 5 acres and one wants 12 acres and one wants the other whatever is left over, 3 acres. So you'd have to come in with a site plan because that is a 20-acre parcel and the underlying zone is 20 acres. So you'd have to have a plan that would then mitigate that.
All three would have to be freight rail dependent uses.
Right, yeah, no, they'd have to, they'd have to be freight rail, but
right.
Got it.
They couldn't take 12 acres, do freight rail dependent, and then take the other 8 acres and do something else, is what she's saying. That makes sense.
Well, I like the idea of bigger minimum parcel sizes because all these setbacks and stuff take space. You know, and if on a, if I do my math right, if I remember right, 50-foot setback on 10 acres is about 3 acres. 50-foot setback on 20 acres is about 4.25 acres. So you have, instead of having 5 acres with big setbacks next to the 5 acres with big setbacks, so next to the 5 acres, you can have one setback and have it inside. So as much as we can encourage that, we need to do that.
Makes best land use.
It makes sense.
I think the setbacks would encourage that. People would want to consolidate parcels.
So it sounds like the underlying.
If you have two 5 acres together, you don't have to have the setbacks in between them.
No.
You just have to have them around the perimeter.
Right.
So you're back to a 10-acre setback.
Maybe not.
it depends on how you write it. Yeah. It really depends on how you write it.
So maybe it's safer to just stick with the underlying zone as a minimum.
Well, I think that
because that doesn't preclude someone from coming in with two partners and dividing up a 20 for them all to use for freight rail use.
No, because we've said we have to. He's saying we have to have a 20-acre minimum.
No. So what she's saying. So you've got a 20-acre minimum, and that's what you can subdivide down to. What she's saying is you're down to 20 acres, but you can still put two different people on it.
As long as they apply at the same time.
Not if he puts a minimum of 10 acres on here.
Oh, I'm suggesting 20.
You could have more users. You could have more buildings, yes.
Tenants,
thank you. That's what I was looking for. You could have more tenants, but it would be one development on the 20 acres.
So it'd still be allowed.
One owner.
It would be allowed, but it still has to be one owner.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so that messes it up then. I don't.
Yeah, I think it does.
It does.
What about non-conforming parcels? What if it's already under 20 acres?
Hmm.
Then there are some in there, like 10-acre parcels.
You could use them.
There are.
They have to sort of be grandfathered in, I would think.
Yeah, they just can't be
My objective would be that you put it as low as possible, and then you can go forward and it, like she said, you chop it up. You still have to use the whole 20 acres in some fashion, but put it as low as possible.
Well, I just worry that it could get out of control.
I agree.
A bunch of little things all over the place, and you know, at least with a big project, you have a little bit more control. You end up with a better looking project, and you kind of concentrate the impact.
That makes sense too.
So are we going back to the 10 acres as for the happy medium?
How interesting.
You might have to sleep on it.
Which is why I suggested 10 acres.
I'd go for the 10 acres.
All right.
Eric, I think would you agree with 10 acres?
I would love 10 acres.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've gone full circle, and I think we're at 10, which
is pretty. I can't say I am, but
oh,
we still make it.
Because I'm not sure where how this all ties together.
We'll tell you what. Let's go with 10. There's no reason we can't circle back if something comes up and we say, "Hey, wait a second." Yep. All right. Building heights and setbacks.
So I just continued with everything else was 100 feet. So I put 100 feet. Now there's some notations with the little twos there. I didn't put that in, but obviously that's something to be inserted as well, excluding the unique architectural features such as towers, cupolas, etc.
Okay, so if you talk about a 100-foot building height that's 20 feet away from the neighbor's property line, they just lost all their sunshine.
It's
10
stories.
That's really,
I think there's
not far enough away.
Yeah, but there's a further restriction. So for buildings exceeding 36 feet in height, the building setback should be equal to the height. You have to go down further. There's all this stuff that's been put in there. It's number 6.
Mm-hmm. I remember another chart somewhere that it also had a minimum setback from the rail of 0.
0?
Yeah. You could build up to the rail, but you had setbacks from property lines, but not from the rail.
Okay. I think that was the buffering language. The buffer had to be around the perimeter except for where the rail was. I think that's the language.
So when you... Go ahead.
And I think that's... fine. The only concern I have with that is if you have two property owners on opposite sides of the rail, and so if someone doesn't want to be part of the overlay or do anything with that, it just doesn't make sense to put landscaping and screening in the rail right away. But we generally don't do off-site landscaping. But if someone wanted, if that was an issue.
Yeah, that's where the siding goes.
Oh, yeah. No, but I'm talking about on the other side of the property. So the rail, you have the development on one side of the rail and on the other side.
So basically everything in the southern half of that. Where
what if the rail is the property line?
So if you had a development here.
I'm completely confused.
Yeah.
And these folks didn't, they're not part of this.
Okay.
But how do you, you're not going to admit it, you're not going to screen anything on this side, right?
Because you can build right up to the rail.
So they're going to be affected looking at that building. And so how do you address that? That's the only...
I think this is going to require some very careful thought.
Nick, you still need to somehow get the rail spur or siding in there, too. So you couldn't, even if you required screening, you'd have to have at least some egress for the rail to get on there.
Yeah, and I don't know if you kind of go perpendicular to put this in. Yeah.
Those trains have trouble doing that.
Yeah, 700 foot radius of curves.
Yeah, and that's why. But,
well, that's the landscaping requirements or buffering requirements that we later on.
So on the building height, you had, I think there's a footnote 3 that also goes up to the...
Building height is limited to 60 feet for parcels on the perimeter and parcels adjacent to residential.
Yes.
Perimeter parcels may be 100 feet in height if the setback is 100 feet.
So I don't know if you wanted to tie it, the setback is equivalent to the bottom height, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Sort of a sliding scale now.
Yeah.
Of course, currently, if somebody wanted to put in a 100-foot high grain silo, no problem.
Right.
I don't talk about it.
But grain silos are rural and quaint for an industrial.
we could be like the Cracker Barrel restaurant and put a little facade on the outside.
What about a rail container standing on end?
I think we've done with
it. I think it's getting late.
Yes,
losing effectiveness. We're totally losing effectiveness.
So before we get off, essentially what Eric has suggested is go with pre-existing. And the sense that I'm getting from the group is, you know, as we work around that, it kind of makes sense. It's been done before. The one issue that really stands out to me is the one that Jose was looking at, is what you do for those special cases.
And for that reason, I think that it's too late at night to make this concrete. I think we need to look at it again, and before we just go rubber stamp it and walk
right.
away.
Well, what I was going to suggest is if we can go as far as saying, you know, basically accept Eric's recommendation, and when we come back, we deal with the special case.
I don't.
No, not ready?
No.
Okay. All right.
Because I can't think anymore.
Well, you really need to, you know, I'm having a problem just how this is all going to fit together.
I know.
You know, somebody's going to come with a project and. I'm just not sure how to open
it. So we need to have a role play, somebody coming in and applying for an application and see what he has to do. How many times he has to stand on his head to get there.
Can I play the county guy? I always wanted to play the county guy.
before this totally devolves, let's get one more public comment section in here and confirm next steps, and then we'll give up the night. Thank you, Susan.
Thanks.
So, public comment. Please come forward.
Hurry up.
Oh, were you going to speak?
I was, but I...
No, you must go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to clarify what I heard. So...
that'll make one.
I hope you can.
So because it's Ag 20 underlying, you can't come in and buy less than 20 acres unless it's already a non-conforming site that's less than 20 acres. Do I have that right? And if you buy 20 or more, which you must do, you could divide it up into 10-acre parcels minimum.
Oh. If you're using it for freight rail.
Well, you can't buy it at all if you're... Oh, I'm sorry. You could buy a property and build a house on it. But if you choose to use it for freight rail, you can't have tenants that occupy less than 10 acres.
You
so if you buy,
divide it up into less than 10.
Right. So you could have, if you buy 50, you can only, the maximum you can have is 5 people, each of whom have 10 right. acres on your property, etc. Okay. But a person who currently owns 5 acres or 10 acres, which is non-conforming, if they sell it to a company that wants to build on it, they can do that. Is that what I understand?
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, that was helpful, I think, for the group.
I guess I need to be clarified, too, with this, because 90% of our parcels are non-conforming in Clark County. So it's kind of a moot point. I mean, these parcels here are 2.5s, 5s, that are almost 50% of your overlay has 2.5s, 5s, and 3s, and so forth. So how does that work?
So if you have a legal non-conforming use lot, you can do whatever what's allowed in that zone.
That's
so if you have a 2-acre or 5-acre and it's a 10-acre minimum, you can, and you're in the freight rail overlay,
You're still going to honor that non-conforming use? Because that's a staff.
Just the way we allow you to build a house.
Right, but that's a staff-generated thing. That's not a law.
It's in the code.
It's in your code, yes, but you can change the code anytime you feel like it.
We're all victims of that, aren't we?
You know, I mean, I know that it's just something that, you know, has been generated because of the massive downzoning that happened. So, also, United Grain, I think that they're probably not even on 5 acres. I could be. United Grain silos. So they're massive, but they're very contained. So, you know, some of the things you're talking about, I agree with him. You shouldn't have a minimum. It's a moot point, really. Because the non-conforming, you're able to use the non-conforming parcel, so that doesn't matter. And in your overlay that you have here, I mean, yeah, you've got some that have 20-acre zoning here, but you know, very few would be able to use it. The railroad overlay in this parcel here, because these are all homes here. We all know that there's homes on every single one of these 2.5s, 5s, 3s, so forth. And we've got here on this map, in your overlay, there's a bunch of land that would apply to the overlay that are parks. And then the county owns another parcel that's in almost all in the overlay. And then there's some of these parcels have 3 overlays. And some of these other parcels are Rural Industrial Land Bank, but you're not including portions of that, so that's not going to do anybody any good. So as we see it in the research of every single one of these parcels, and that's what we did, was going and see what their zones are, see what their sizes are, see who owns them, you'll have very little to use on this railroad. This should be a very large area that includes brush prairie and that rural industrial land bank. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, anybody else?
So the yellow sheet, put all this stuff away. We've gotten through the use table, we're sort of halfway through, well, we're on the development standards, we're going through the dimensional table. We did get through part of the development standard to the F, so there's just a few things that we'll have to address. We'll talk about sewer urban services next time. That'll be a fun discussion. There's the amendment procedure. I think some of what Carol and Susan are talking about. We're with the new definition going from 500 feet to a quarter of a mile. It's just putting together the process. There's another amendment section of the procedure section that would essentially spell out how you would go about amending the overlay to expand it, to have it to apply to another area that's not contiguous. And it'd be through our docket process, more than likely, where you would submit a request to do it. We can talk about whether you want to have a minimum number of acres to be included in that. There are some things that we do where you have 60% of the property owners sign a petition and submit that. So those are some of the things that we'll need to discuss. And I'll look at there's other code sections that have references to particular zones. So we may have to amend those to include the freight rail dependent use overlay zone in those. So I'll try to identify those and let you know what those are. And again, the next meeting is the 6th, and we're going to be at the Public Service Center downtown, same time.
Okay.
Free parking,
coffee.
Yeah.
coffee.
No.
And not free parking either.
No, well, it is a
Meters. 6 o'clock, we can park.
Parking meters expire at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Is that the administration building, the same thing?
Yes.
It's where we, the council, that's the building.
Same room.
I have a question.
You're doing real quick.
To expand that to the quarter mile, do you need another environmental evaluation?
There's going to have to be a CEPA, some environmental analysis as part of it.
So now, why not extend it for a mile?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.